Here we go. Guys, thanks for coming to the seminar. Maybe it's just because it's a little cooler in here. I don't know, but here we go. When it comes to like the seminar stuff, I was thinking like, what do I talk about? And you guys heard maybe just a little snippet this morning. It's going to be about faith. It's going to be like God's plan for us and something that God really, over probably a long period of time, got me to see the things a little bit differently than what I really thought how I should be seeing them. Hopefully at the end of today, you're something's going to be an aha moment for you, I hope. But if not, then hopefully you'll at least be able to see how God worked on me and kind of changed my perspective about like his plans for me and what real faith in him really looks like about his plan for me. So let me kind of start out by just going through what I thought really, really strong faith was. I'll tell you, maybe some of you guys can relate to it. Any of you guys grow up in the church since you were kids, Sunday school, that kind of stuff? Hear all the stories like Daniel in the lion's den, Noah's Ark, all of these stories. And there was a couple of things that affected me about how God works in people's lives. And one of them was the stories that I heard in Sunday school. And I'm not saying that people in Sunday school taught these stories in a bad way. I'm just saying how I was taking it. Maybe you were taking it too. So I would hear like Daniel in the lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Noah, you know, and the flood. All of these stories that we would hear over and over again. And I started seeing that if you followed God, you might go through a hard thing, but what happens in the end? Everything turns out okay. Like, in the end, it's going to turn out okay. Like, here's Daniel lions, and oh no, he's going to be thrown into the lions, and what's going to happen, what's going to happen? And by the time I would get to that story, because I heard so many other stories, I knew everything was going to be okay, I just don't know how yet. You know what I mean? Like, if they would have said, yeah, and they threw him in the lion's den, and then they ate him up, the end, let's pray. You would have been like, what? You know, like, what are you talking about? No, there has to be a good ending. It was almost like they were all like Disney movies. You know, the Disney cartoon stuff? Disney has this incredible formula, which is like, everything starts out great. Oh, everybody's together. The car's on the truck. He's fine. He's winning races. And then suddenly he falls off the truck, ends up in Radiator Springs. It's a dump. You know, that, like, you get that. Think about, you know, here's Nemo. Oh, everything's fine. You know, and then he gets lost. And it says, so it's a real big drop and stuff. Something's going on. And you're like, what's going to happen? But then there's this journey that this thing goes through. Right? Whatever it is. And through this journey that he meets maybe a friend and he kind of finds out what real love really is. And she finds out what the purpose of life is as you go through this hard thing and stuff like that and all this stuff. And then you come up, you know, and finally at the end, it gets to be, this is a terrible, terrible marker. Okay. At the end, it finally turns into something that's, you know, it's going good and, you know, and then there's this big, big victory. But then Disney has this way of when it's at the very end, then there's that one last thing. Right? Think about every movie, and then there's that one last thing, you know, where that villain, he's actually a bad guy that wanted to marry her, you know, whatever. And then, you know, and then suddenly it's like, but then there's this victory thing, you know, where everything's fine, that, you know, right before the last petal dropped, she kisses him, you know, whatever. And then everything is fine, and then it's good. That's the Disney, that's it. I just gave you every Disney movie right there. Like, that's what basically it all is all about. So I started thinking that's kind of what life is if you're following God. You might have a hard thing, you know, and you might start, and then you have this hard trial or something, but then you know in the inner being that the main character, this person, is going to end up okay. Daniel is going to make it through. I don't know how. Noah is going to make it through the flood with these animals. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, oh my goodness, they're even thrown into the fire, but they turn out okay. And you find out all of these stories. And so that was something that affected me. I went, okay, that's how God works. Then I would hear testimonies. We had this testimony night in our church. It was like Sunday night testimony stuff. And in these testimonies, people would stand up, and nobody would stand up and say, yeah, I'm following God, and everything fell apart, and yeah, it all sucks now. And they sit down. Oh, praise God. You know, nobody did. No, nobody's doing that. It was like they stand up, and if they did talk about something that was going, that went wrong, they stood up as a testimony. When it came to testimony time, for me, what I saw over and over again was people on the other side of that That makes sense? Like, and they're on the other side and they say, yeah, we had this hard thing, but then this is what God did, and this, you know, now everything's good, and my wife had cancer and we prayed for her, and now she doesn't have cancer anymore, and praise God, you know, and we were about to lose our home and we didn't have any money, and then suddenly we go out to the mailbox and I didn't remember my tax refund check was in the mail, and it was for the exact right number that we needed to pay for our mortgage. So I'm listening to this, and those, I'm not saying that those stories didn't happen. I'm not saying that Daniel and the lions den didn't happen. Shadrach and Meshach, it all happened, right? This all happened. Those testimonies were real testimonies. I started thinking, this is how God works. I'm starting to figure it out. That you might have a time that you're kind of, but if you just trust him, if you just keep on trusting him, he'll make it work out. I heard missionaries that came to our church and missionaries that would come in and they would go, yeah, you know, we're missionaries in this outer province of South America or Africa, whatever. And then, you know, we're sharing Jesus. And then we went to this tribe of cannibals and they wanted to eat us. And then, you know, last minute, the chief's wife was sick and we had a medication to actually help her and she was healed. And now the tribe is now accepting us and, you know, the chief accepted Jesus. And you hear like, wow, this is great. Whoa, it's the hard, but then you know, and we just trusted God. And you hear that, and we just trusted God, and then he worked it out, and he trusted God, and then we prayed, and we trusted God, and he worked it out. I don't know if any of you guys can relate to what I'm saying as like the basic thing that you hear. So then I started thinking that real faith was this. If I could put in words, I trust God will work this out. And that was where the real faith came in. I trust that God will work this out. And that if it didn't work out, if that was true, if it didn't work out, then what did that mean? Tell me what that meant. He said it wasn't God. I didn't trust him enough. Because if I don't trust him, then maybe it won't work out. And I'm not talking about like there's a real like far view of like, hey, you trust God, you'll never have anything bad ever happen in your life. It wasn't that. People were saying we had the hard things. It was the Disney movie. There were some hard things. But if we trust him, it will work out. And if it doesn't, then maybe there's something I wasn't really trusting God hard enough in. And I don't know if any of you guys can relate to that either. Like right now, if something's not going right and God's like, man, and it's been a while and God, it looks like it's getting worse and not better, that there's something inside of you going, well, maybe God's not pleased with me. Did I do something wrong? Am I not trusting him enough? What's going on? Because we know it's going to work out if we trust him. There was even some verses that I would hear. Maybe some of you guys know these verses. One of them is Romans 8:28. Anybody know that verse? Yeah. God works all things together for good to those who love him. Now, that made me think that if it didn't work out everything for good, that meant I didn't love him enough. But if I love him enough and I really am close to him, he'll work out everything for good. The other one was a verse in Philippians for what? 4:13, which says what? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You getting these verses? You know, like, wow, okay, so, if Christ is with me, man, I can do everything, man. I can do it all. I can do this thing, you know, it's going to work out. And then the one that's really cool, and people have tattoos of it and everything else, Jeremiah 29:11, which is? I know the plans I have for you to what? Prosper you. To not, you know, destroy your life, but to give you, I'm going to make it. I mean, is that verse not screaming that everything's going to work out? It's screaming that. And we love that verse. I love it. But it really, honestly, also made me go, what's wrong with me? Because this isn't working out. What's going on? Is God a liar? What is this? I started reading Hebrews chapter 11, if you want to turn there. Hebrews 11 is called the faith chapter. Also, it just continued to reinforce this. Hebrews 11, The faith, people call it the faith chapter. It's example after example of people who had faith in God and then God working things out. If you read through it, the whole thing, you'll see like, oh, by faith, the people went through the sea of the Red Sea, you know, when they're escaping Israel or when they're escaping Egypt. Oh, it works out. You know, by faith, Moses' parents hid him in a little basket and he was saved. By faith, this person did this. By faith, this person did this. By faith, this person did this. And then at the end, it's like he's still trying to just wrap it up with a whole bunch of other examples. If you guys are there, Hebrews 11, it's near the last part of your Bible, near the end. Hebrews 11. And we're going to start with verse 32. He's kind of wrapping up. And Hebrews 11, 32, after he talks about all these stories that I even heard in Sunday school, and he says, and what more shall I say? I don't have time. And some of these people you're going to recognize, maybe some you won't, but here it goes. I don't have time to tell you about Gideon. Anybody remember Gideon? What he had, like 300 guys against this army of a million, and did he win or lose? Won, by faith. Barak. You're going, I don't know who that is. Okay, that's fine. Samson, you know what? Barehanded, you know, destroys all these other people, the enemies of God and everything. Jephthah, David, we hear about him and all the things that he did. Samuel, we're looking at him this week. And the prophets, who, look at verse 33, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised. In other words, God promised something, and these people were the ones that experienced the fulfillment of these promises that God gave. And it says, who shut the mouths of lions. I mean, who is that? Who's that? Daniel. Or maybe you could say Samson, because, you know, that lion, whatever. But Daniel, you know, when they were, quenched the fury of the flames. We think of who? Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Escape the edge of the sword. You can probably think of a lot of different people for that. But you notice whose weakness was turned to strength. You can think of a lot of people, but you think of specifically maybe Samson. And who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. I mean, by faith, it says by faith they did this. So there's this connection. By faith, I'm going, wow, by faith they were able to accomplish all of these incredible things and have all these victories. The first part of verse 35 even says this. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. I mean, just stop right there. People even had other people that were raised from the dead because of faith. So again, I just kept getting, okay, I got it. I trust God will work this out. And I keep on trusting him and he'll work it out. And if it doesn't work out, maybe there's something about my faith. I need to work on my faith a little bit more. And that's what I thought for a long time until I did something pretty radical. I actually kept reading. Pretty radical. Because he says, others. I don't know what your version says, but mine says others. And that's a huge word. He just finished the entire chapter talking about how by faith all these people did conquer kingdoms. They escaped the sword, everything. And then he says, others were tortured and refused to be released. In other words, they were tortured for the rest of their lives. It didn't go. They were tortured, and then everything turned out great. They were tortured, and they died. You getting it? That's what happened to them. It's not they went through a hard time, and then they got through the hard time. They went into a hard time and stayed there. He says. Now, they refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. In other words, it's clearly saying, it's talking about they died so they would have something better after death. Some faced jeers and flogging. Again, it's not talking about for a short amount of time. This is talking about what their life was marked by. This is what they had for the rest of their lives. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison, and they didn't get out. They were stoned. They were stoned to death. People picked up rocks, threw them at them until they died because they were hit so many times by these rocks. That's how it ended. Nobody came in and rescued him. Nobody came in and there wasn't like, oh, and they were about to stone him. And then what happened? What happened? Did they like, their arms went numb? No. The person died. Look at the next one. They were what? Sawed in two. Probably talking about, it's not in the Bible, but it's what tradition, what history tells us of the prophets of the Old Testament. Isaiah is said to have died this way. That he was telling a king, hey, you know, like one of the other times that he's ever telling a king something that the king doesn't want to hear. Tell him what God is going to do. The king hated what he was saying. The king, they put him into a hollow log. And they took a saw, and then they sawed the log in two while he was in it alive. And that's how he's put to death. They were put to death by the sword. You're seeing, again, you're seeing like, this isn't like, they went through a hard time and then they almost died and then God got them through. This, it just ended, man. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins. They were destitute. They never got money back. They lost everything and it was always lost. They didn't have money for the mortgage in their home and they went to the mailbox and guess what? There wasn't a check there. And they lost their home. And they're living on the street. They were mistreated, persecuted. I love this. Look at verse 38, because I'm thinking, what, were these guys really bad? The world was not worthy of them. That's quite a sentence. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. Some people lived in a hole in the ground. They had no place to go. And they had nothing and they had no one. And I thought, okay, these must be the people, because there are others, it's such a contrast. These must be the people who didn't trust God enough. That's what I thought, because that fits in the formula. And then I'm thrown for a loop because it says in verse 39, the very first sentence of verse 39 says what? These were all commended for their faith. They didn't have a problem with faith. They had just as much faith. The people who died by the sword had just as much faith as the people who escaped the sword. Isn't that weird? Lucas says these were all commended for their faith. And then look at the last part of that sentence. Yet none of them received what had been promised. Before it said that some people by faith received what was promised, other people by faith didn't get what was promised at all. In other words, God would make a promise, and you might say, hold it, did God not fulfill his promise? Yeah, God did fulfill promises. He just didn't fulfill them while they were living. Does that make sense? Like, God promised Abraham that after 450 years of being in slavery in Egypt, they would go back into the promised land, right? Did God fulfill that promise? Yes. How many generations? We think about the generation. All we do is we just turn a page. We go, oh, that's great. And the next page we turn, we go, oh, look, they're leaving Egypt. That's fantastic. It's 450 stinking years later. They didn't live that long. The people going into slavery were slaves for the rest of their lives. And their kids were slaves for the rest of their lives. And their kids were slaves for the rest of their lives. And their kids were slaves for the rest of their lives. And their kids were slaves for the rest of their lives. And their kids finally received what was promised. That makes sense? Not because that generation was loved more by God. Not because that was the generation that had a lot of faith. Because that's when God was fulfilling his promise. By faith, some people are going to live and they're going to see God's promises being fulfilled. By faith, other people are going to live their entire lives and never see it happen. Jesus promised something that still hasn't happened. You guys know what it is? He's going to come back. Do you know how many generations have lived and died and not received that promise? And we might be another generation that does that too. But if Jesus comes back during our generation, it's not because we're really special and because we had more faith than all the other generations. But by faith, we might receive that promise. Or we might not. These guys, there was plenty of people, way more people that didn't experience God's promises than experienced it. Way more. And he says, and you go, why? And then he says in verse 40, God had planned something better for us so that only together with us would they be made perfect. What in the world does that mean? That word perfect means to be made complete. That their lives that they lived, and somebody living in a hole in the ground for the rest of their lives, they actually did trust God. They said, God, I'm still going to trust you. I still live in a hole in the ground. I don't see any way that I'm getting out. And they never got out of the hole in the ground. And they died saying, I trust you, that you know what's best, and that I needed to live in a hole in the ground. I don't get it. I can't ever see why it happened in my lifetime, but I trust you. And what happened was these people that lived their lives and gave up so much, they didn't do it for them. They did it so that someone, somewhere, at some time, maybe even after their lifetime, would somehow be affected by their faith and they would follow Jesus. That some guy who lived in a hole in the ground, somehow, when this writer was writing to the book of Hebrews, said, those people that did that and sacrificed their entire lives, they did that so that somehow, some way, when now this new generation, 500 years later, is now alive, somehow, some way, their lives affected it down the line so that you could actually hear the truth and come to know Jesus. And it's now that their life has been fulfilled. Because now you have accepted Jesus. Crazy. It's crazy. But they understood that their life, they understood God's plan was way bigger than their lives. Does that make sense? They knew that God's plan was way bigger than them. It wasn't about them. It was about something else. And so that they had this faith that I go, this is a faith that's even greater than that. That is a huge faith. I mean, if you ever talk to somebody and you're like, man, they're going through a hard thing. And you're going, man, how are you doing with God? I trust him. I know he's just going to work this out. And you like leave going, man, I don't know if I would have that kind of faith. I'd be thinking like God has abandoned me or whatever else. But they're still trusting God that he's going to work it out. That is a strong faith. I'm not saying it's not. But I'm telling you there's a stronger faith than that. And it's a faith that says this. I trust God no matter how things work out. My mom's got cancer. I trust that God can heal her. I know it. I'm praying for that. I'm not just going to trust God that he's going to work this out. I trust God no matter how this works out. When somebody says that, isn't there something inside of you that says, whoa, that's even a deeper trust? A lot of people that stop following God because things didn't work out. Nobody stops following God because they work out. People stop following God because they don't work out. Because they missed something that this last group of people, they understood. And even the first group of people understood it, you guys. We just don't get the right impression until we see, oh, it might not work out. We keep thinking the first group of people had faith so that it would work out. They simply had faith, and God says, I'm going to put a sword in your hand for you to conquer kingdom, because that's the right time for this to happen. And you're the one that I'm going to have do it. And they went, okay, I trust you. And the other people, God says, I'm going to put a sword in somebody else's hand, and they're going to kill you. Because in this situation, this is what's going to be best for my entire plan. I know you don't see how it's going to happen, but because you're going to be able to still have faith even to the place of death, somebody's going to see that. And they're going to see your faith. And they're going to go, whoa. And they're going to end up following Jesus after you're dead and gone because of your example of facing death like that. That's what it's about. There was a girl, Krista was in our youth group, Krista Wickerham, and she was from a, I think she was Korean. And she, there was something in, she said it's like a Korean boy thing, that something happens in some Korean boys' noses that was hereditary, that it like they had to get an operation on their nose. And she came to youth group one night in high school, and she goes, I'm so embarrassed because I have this thing that only Korean boys have, but I have this. And so I got to go, you know, pray. I got to go to the doctor and get it all fixed. So we're like, okay. So she goes to the doctor, and she comes back. She's a senior in high school, just graduating, going to be a freshman in college. And she goes, went to the doctor, and it's not that, it's I have cancer in my head. And so we did what any of you guys would do. Man, we started praying for Krista. And Krista was praying. And Krista would go on Facebook or Instagram or whatever social media. And you guys, it was amazing to see what she would write. She would write, you know, I know God can heal me. I'm praying for that to happen, but I trust him no matter what happens. And I know he's in control, and I know he knows what's best, and I know he loves me, so I'm going to trust him. And within 2 years, Krista died. And at her memorial service, people who did not even know Jesus continue to hear a testimony of somebody who trusted Jesus no matter what, no matter what happened. And I seriously cannot tell you how many people decided to follow Jesus because God did not heal her. That's really hard for those of us who we are still thinking, what's God's plan for me? So we think, what's God's plan for me? What's God's plan for me? Does he have a great, Jeremiah, and some of you might even be going, but what about those verses though? What about those verses? And what about those verses? Romans 8:28 says, God causes all things to work out for the good for those who love him. Anybody ever read verse 29? Verse 29 says, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son. In other words, what's the good? See, we think what's good is he's going to take away this illness. He's going to do this. He's going to fix this thing around us. The good isn't fixing something around you. The good is changing you. He's going to use everything to make you more like Jesus. Does that make sense? That changes everything when you look at that. He's going to use everything in your life to make you become more like Jesus. That's exactly what he did in Krista's life. She looked way more like Jesus when she passed away than she did before because she trusted God. Philippians, great verse. Philippians 4:13, right? Anybody ever read the verse before it? Yeah, it kind of puts it in perspective. The verse before it says this, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. I can do rich. I can do poor. I can do healthy. I can do diseased. I can do having plenty. I can do having nothing. I can do anything that comes my way, whatever it is, because Jesus Christ is going to strengthen me. You see again, it's not about changing stuff around me. It's about changing me. And then you have Jeremiah, right? You guys want to turn to Jeremiah 29:11. Anybody read the verse right before it? It's a great verse. For some of you, it might make you want to have to take off your tattoo. I don't know. Actually, I hope you wouldn't. I hope all of these, like Romans 8:28, if you know in context, that is fantastic to remember, right? That's going to make you be able to trust him. You know what? I know he's going to use this to make me more like his son, Jesus. I got it. You know what? Jesus is with me and I can have nothing. I can have everything. I can have nothing work out at all. And I still have enough because I have him. That's Philippians 4:13. Jeremiah 29:11 is so interesting. In verse 10, we find out, first of all, that God is not talking to an individual. He's talking to a nation. That makes a big difference. He's not talking to an individual. He's talking to a group of people, the nation of Israel. And he says, this is what the Lord says in verse 10. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place, because I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Did anybody catch the timeline? Did you catch it? What's the timeline? 70 years. How old are you? You're 27. So you know what? Put that verse on you, and you know what? When you're 97 years old, it's all going to work out. We don't think about that. We put that verse on, and we look at that verse to say what? So next week, it's going to work out, right? So next year, I mean, okay, so in a couple of years, so whatever else, 70 years. He's talking to a nation. That means some people are 27. Some people are 16. Some people are 6. Some people are 70. He's talking to the whole nation. Look, after 70 years of being in captivity, being a slave to this nation of Babylon, I am going to come and rescue you. Who's the you? The nation. And I'm going to take you out, and because I'm not going to forget about my plans for you, nation, plans for Israel, because I'm going to take you out, and then you're going to call on me when after 70 years, and that's when I'm going to listen to you again. 70 years. Which is awesome when you understand, like you understand now the whole thing. It's not about God's plan for me. It's about God's plan. And where do I fit in God's plan? Some of those people did not receive what was promised. You getting it? Did it mean they had less faith? No. Some people received what was promised. Did it mean they had more faith? No. But he's telling the plan. We keep saying, God, what's your plan for me? We look at this thing, the Disney thing, and we go, okay, so God's going to do this, and my life is going to finally work out over here. What if it's way bigger than us? What if this isn't our plan? What if that's God's plan? Not for me, but what if that's God's plan? Which is kind of interesting that it's kind of the same. It's kind of weird. Maybe Disney ripped this off from the Bible. Everything's fine in the Garden of Eden, then what happens? Sin. And then now there's this journey through thousands of years of God's redemptive plan for mankind, right? And we get to the end, and if you read the book of Revelation, then there's this 7 years of really bad, bad, bad. And then, you know, there's a 1,000-year reign of Jesus, and at the very end of that, Satan gets out. Oh, no, what's going to happen? And then he gets killed. Yeah, it's done. So it's like the same thing. It's so weird. But it's not God's plan for any of us individually. It's God's plan for mankind. What if I ask God, what if I stopped asking God, what's your plan for me? And I say, God, what's your plan for mankind? Whoa, that's way bigger than me. And what if all of us are somewhere on this plan? What if God is right here in his plan? And we're just this thing, this little part that God says, I am going to use you. But it's not about, you got to get out of this thing of, God, what's your plan for me? Why don't you get outside of yourself a little bit and just say, God, what's your plan and how do you want to use me? However that is. Do you want me to conquer a kingdom for you? Okay. Do you want me to live in a hole in the ground for the rest of my life so that someone else, somehow, some way, can hear about you because of the tragedy that I'm going to face? Okay. Because it's not about God's plan for me. It's about God's plan for mankind. That's what these guys understood at the end of Hebrews chapter 11. That's why in Hebrews chapter 12, which a lot of us know, and now we can maybe look at it in this in context. Do you see the first verse of Hebrews 12? Maybe some of us remember it. He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, people that trusted God with whatever path that they were on, he says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us, each one of us, run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Some of us are on a path that God has marked out for you to conquer a kingdom and receive what he has promised. Some of us are on a path to shut the mouths of lions and to make foreign armies flee. Some of us are on that path. Others of us, we have a different path. Others of us are going to die by the edge of the sword. And we're going to be destitute. And we're going to live in a hole in the ground. Are you okay with that? For the sake of his kingdom. For the sake of his plan. That's faith. That's that second kind of faith. I trust you no matter how things work out. Because you know what's best. I trust you. That's huge, you guys. Next time you ask God, what's God's plan? Just end it with a period right there. God, what's your plan for me? Take off the for me. Just take it off. God, what's your plan? And God, however you want to use me in that plan. Whatever that is. What's amazing is that right after that, he talks about the example of Jesus. Which group was Jesus in? The second group. Jesus went, Father, what's your plan for mankind? How do you want to use me? And the Father said, I want you to be put to death. And I want you to become sin, so that other people could become righteous. I want you to give up everything and serve and be a slave to all of mankind so that someone else would be able to be saved. And Jesus said, okay. I trust you no matter how things work out. That was Jesus, you guys. When I really understand that, this is going to be so weird, you guys. This is what's going to happen to you. I think some of us in this room, even right now, you're going, okay, I get it. And you can, you know what? And this is okay. You can start praying right now and say, God, I just want to, you know I just want, I don't want it to be about me, just whatever your plan is. But I'm going to be honest with you, God. I sure hope I'm in the first group. You know, I just, if that'd be okay, I think it'd be really cool to conquer a kingdom for you. I think it'd be really cool to just become something that you could just be used by you in the church and just like worldwide church, everything, you know, that, it, man, I'm up for that. I'm up for it, whatever it is. But I'm willing, maybe some of you are going to say, but I'm willing to be in that second group. I'm willing to do that if that really is what's best. If that's what it takes so that somebody 100 years from now will be able to accept you. Okay. What's really weird is some of you in this room are going to do something really crazy. And because you want to be like Jesus so stinking much, and you see these people in the second group and you admire them. You do. I know you do. You're like, wow, they gave up everything. They didn't care what happened to them. For the sake of God and the furthering of his plan, God, I'm willing to be in that first group. But if you would actually see that I have enough faith to be able to handle the second group, that I could actually sacrifice my life like your son sacrificed his life for me, I want to do that. That's crazy. But some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. We want to be like Jesus. So if anything else, you guys, I just told you at the beginning, if anything else, at least you got to see how God's been working on me, how he's taken me through a journey, and maybe even took you through a little journey even today. Maybe how to just look at life a little differently. Pray a little differently. Look at things happening in your life a little differently. And maybe even challenge the faith that you have a little bit more. Cool? Would any of you guys want to pray for us?